It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Lift off.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Russell Westbrook makes his Rockets playoff debut as the team improves to 3-2 in the series against the Oklahoma City Thunder as they come away with the W, 114-80, a whopping 34-point victory for your Houston Rockets. What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, of course the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the ClutchCityControlRoom.com blog at ClutchCityCR. Rockets take the Game 5 victory. This was a pivotal Game 5 in what had become a best-of-three series after going 2-2 in the first four games of the series without Russell Westbrook. He makes his return in this game, and he had a really profound impact, I think. And even though the stats don't jump off the page, I think that Russ had a big impact on this game, and we'll get more on that in just a second, but overall, this game, Russell Westbrook had his impact. Harden quietly had a really, really monster night on just absurd efficiency. Robert Covington found his shooting stroke and dropped in an additional 22 points. Eric Gordon was aggressive all game. PJ Tucker and Dennis Schroeder had a little bit of a scuffle. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Tyson Chandler we saw for a brief minute in this one. This game had everything. It really did. This was early on, it didn't feel that great. And I guess we'll dive into that first, but talking about Harden's game, look, he had 31 points in this one on 11 of 15 shooting, 4 of 8 from behind the arc, 5 of 6 from the charity stripe, just 2 rebounds, 5 assists, did have a steal and a block, was a plus 28 across his 28 minutes played. Now, the thing about this is Harden only had 11 second half points, but he was the driving force to keep the Rockets in the game early on in the first half. You know, he had 20 of his 31 in the first half, and he was the guy who, I mean, he was what, 7 of 8 at halftime, something like that? He was keeping the team in it when nobody else really had it going. And thankfully, the team had kind of woke up in the third quarter and had a monster third quarter offensively, 35-18 in favor of the Rockets. Or sorry, I apologize, 37-18 in favor of the Rockets. But Harden was the one who kept them in this game, and it was one of those, like, he's not going to let the team lose kind of mentality. You know, he had a great job, or did a great job, I should say, of bouncing back from last game where the last couple games, he really did struggle against Lu Dort, and Dort was just causing him so many different problems. And Harden does have a knack, I believe, for, you know, when he encounters an individual or a team scheme where they're finding ways to slow him down and scheme against him, whether it's, again, on an individual or on a team level, Harden's able to find ways to kind of bounce back from that. You're not going to shut down James Edward Harden for an entire playoff series. And that's why I was so adamant about, you know, look, the Thunder haven't found the formula. They haven't somehow miraculously found a way after all these years to shut down James Harden. It's not some rookie named Lu Dort who's going to get it all done. Look, Dort is a phenomenal defender, and he's doing a great job, as good of a job as you can, to slow down James Harden. But James is a great guy when it comes to adjusting on a game-by-game basis. And so he came back into this one, and it really did look like he was starting to kind of have his way with Dort a little bit. Again, in this one, he, 11 of 15 shooting, just really great efficiency, and had a lot of those shots, a lot of those looks came against Lu Dort himself. So it's not like Harden was just cooking the rest of the team and still struggling on Lu Dort. Now, he did get his fair shake of switches and things like that, but kudos to Harden. He really held down the fort in that first half before the rest of the team kind of woke up in that third quarter. And I do think the mentality of the team in this game was much more akin to games 1 and 2, both offensively and defensively. And we'll talk more in detail about this in segments 2 and 3. But specifically, this is what I felt like Westbrook brings the team. He brings a bit of mental edge. He brings a bit of fire, a bit of that toughness that you really need. That just kind of, you know, he's just going to put his head down and barrel through adversity. And even though Russ himself didn't have a great night, look, Harden said it postgame, saying Russ is our leader. He said this numerous occasions now. Having Russ out there, the emotional factor, the mental aspect of having Russ on the court and being there rather than just being a cheerleader on the sidelines, it's invaluable. You cannot put a number, there's no stats that are going to support it, but having him out there changes the mentality of this team. We've seen it just, case in point, just the pace that this team plays at, having Russ out there, you know, by association, having Russ on this team, Harden wants to play faster. We see Harden wanting to get out in transition and play faster just because of Russ existing on this basketball team. So he has that same impact from a mental standpoint on this ball club, and we saw that. They were so aggressive driving it to the hole, and I think that's something that gets lost on some fans and definitely on the Rockets from time to time is the whole point, and I've harped on this before, the whole point of Morey ball, right, is threes, layups, dunks, and free throws. Those are your four things. The mid-range is forbidden, unless your name is Russell Westbrook, right? And with that, I think the Rockets at times fall a bit too much in love with that three-point shot. But in this game, they didn't do that. We didn't see them fall in love with that three-point shot where they're getting close to, you know, the 60 three-point attempts in a single game, right? They had 48 attempts. They shot 19 of 48, 39.6% as a team, which is great. But they didn't fall in love with that shot. It's because they stayed aggressive. They kept driving it into the basket. They kept the defense on their heels, which opened up wide open looks. So rather than continuing to fire for these wide open looks, they were slowly pouring the points on the board. The reason they had such a huge run to start the third quarter is because they didn't ease up the gas. The difference between the explosion in the third quarter in game four versus the explosion in the third quarter in game five was that the explosion in game four came from behind the arc. You hit 8 three-pointers in a row, yeah, but then you suddenly cooled off. You fell in love with a three-point shot, and then they couldn't hit any of them, and they didn't have that extra gear. They weren't in that attack mode mentality to continue pouring it on inside the paint. And so in this one, it was the inverse of that. So they kept driving it in, and getting pretty much whatever they wanted directly at the rim, and also going to the free throw line a bit more in this one. And they were also able to kick the ball out and get some wide open shots. So it was a more balanced attack. And that's the thing. That's where we've seen these Rockets struggle is when they don't have that balanced, thorough attack. So again, I've mentioned Russell Westbrook a couple times. Did not have a great night shooting the ball. Just 3 of 13 overall. Missed both of his three-pointers. Only went to the charity stripe for a pair of free throws and just hit one of them. 7 points on the evening, not great there, but did snatch 6 rebounds, and he had 7 assists, also a steal, was a plus 21 in just his 24 minutes, so MDA kept his word and kept Russ on the minutes restriction, which will more than likely be in effect also in game 6 moving forward. But really, Russ had some great passes in this game, and I think the thing that is so great about having Russell Westbrook back is you now have 2 legitimate drive and kick forces on the team. And without Russell Westbrook out there, especially in the non-Harden minutes to run the floor, you have another true blue drive and kick force. Austin Rivers can do it a little bit. Eric Gordon can do it a little bit, but nobody does it as well as James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They're the two best in the entire league, right there with LeBron James, about driving and kicking for open shooters. Russ should have had, I don't know what his potential assists are for this game, but it was probably at least, you know, what, potential assists somewhere in the 14 to 15 range. And he converted on probably about half of those, just, you know, talking about missed shot opportunities. But he collapses the defense almost in a way that James Harden kind of doesn't. Because when Russ barrels through 3 or 4 defenders at the same time, it's almost like he's baiting them all to collapse on him at the same time. And when you have 3 or 4 defenders all collapsing on a guy, you're expecting to get something done. And somehow, miraculously, he's able to whip the ball out to the corner, or, you know, he has so much hang time when he gets up in the air that he's able to kind of wrap his torso around and kick the ball out to the top of the key for a wide open look. You know, some of the way, again, they create differently, Harden and Russ do. They play a very different style of basketball, but they both do the same thing, which is attract the defense, keep the eyes of the defense locked in on you because you're such a threat to score the ball, and then they generate wide open looks for the rest of the Rockets. And that's what was sorely missing in the non-Harden minutes throughout these first four games, and we saw it really, you know, in great effect in this game, Russ being able to take advantage of those minutes that Harden wasn't out there on the court. So coming up, want to keep talking about this game, obviously. Definitely want to talk about the PJ Tucker scuffle. Want to talk about the third quarter explosion and why that third quarter was so important in this game, both offensively and defensively. And we'll get there in just a quick moment after a quick word from our friends over at Built Bar. When's the last time you had a protein bar that you actually liked? Look, the time is now to actually start enjoying your protein bars, and you can do that with Built Bar. They've got a bunch of amazing flavors. My personal favorite, the double chocolate mousse. You cannot go wrong with it. They've got some brand new flavors that they're just coming out with: cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, carrot cake. Like, these are protein bar flavors that I would have never imagined before running into Built Bar. And here's the thing, right? They're great for losing or maintaining weight. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They are perfect, and I mean perfect, for a keto diet. They're great for the health conscious guy. Again, if you're just trying to lose some weight, or just even maintaining weight, or, you know, even if you're running late throughout the day and you're trying to hit your protein goals for the day, you know, you're hitting your different splits at the gym, you got to make sure you get your protein in for the day. These protein bars are a great way to do that. And the best part is they're coated in chocolate. They're not like eating a protein bar. It's basically like eating a candy bar that's jam packed with, like, you know, 15 to 20 grams of protein in every single bar. And you can check it out. Just go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on, and you'll actually get $10 off your next order. So that's promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Do me a favor, if you're not already doing it, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen to your podcast. Definitely hit that subscribe button. Do me a huge favor and do that if you're not already doing so. Some quick numbers before I dive into those the third quarter situation, and as well as the PJ Tucker, Dennis Schroeder kerfluffle. I call them kerfluffles, by the way. They're not, I know the word is kerfuffle, but I call them kerfluffles. And also in my notes, for some reason, I have it written as scuffle with three Fs, so it's also going to be a scuffle from now on. So, but some quick numbers before we get there. Dennis Schroeder was a plus minus zero in his 21 minutes, and the rest of the Thunder team was a minus 34 in the 27 minutes that he was not on the court. So Dennis Schroeder getting ejected from this game alongside PJ Tucker was crucial to the W in this. And here's the thing. Look, my love for PJ is immense, but I will take that trade-off 11 out of 10 times every time, because Dennis Schroeder is much more crucial to the Thunder's ability to actually win a basketball game than PJ Tucker is to the Rockets, unfortunately. Couple other important numbers to keep in mind from this one. The Rockets had a 109.6 offensive rating and a 76.2 defensive rating tonight. 76.2 defensive rating. They held the Thunder to 80 points, and a chunk of that was garbage time scoring. Just incredible play on both ends of the court. And then specifically Lu Dort, who I've talked a little bit about Harden's adjustment to Dort in segment one, but let's run by this really quick. In game two, Dort had a 108 defensive rating, and it was a plus 5.7 net rating for the Thunder. Game three, he had a 79 defensive rating, a plus 10.1 net rating for the Thunder. Game four, Lu Dort had a 120.8 defensive rating and was a minus 10.5 in his net rating. And then game five, this one, he had a 128.6 defensive rating, a minus 52.6 net rating. So seriously, Lu Dort is not much of a Harden stopper. He's making life a little difficult at times. And, you know, as far as defenders go, he's doing a great job slowing him down a little bit. But I think Harden kind of has him figured out. So that being said, We'll start with the Rockets' third quarter explosion and then transition into kind of what took place between PJ Tucker and Dennis Schroeder. So Rockets started that third quarter on an 8-0 run, and they built on that 8-0 run and eventually built it up to a 17-2 run, where eventually they were, what was it? They were up, 65-47 at the 8-minute mark of the third quarter off of a Robert Covington three to basically give them a really nice 18-point cushion. And, you know, some baskets exchanged, you know, back and forth here and there. And actually, I take that back. It wasn't just a, then it goes up against 67-47. I apologize. So 19-2 run. Anyways, it was just a few minutes later, though, from that point where, or not even a few minutes later, at the 6:51 mark of the game, basically what happens is PJ Tucker is setting a screen and Dennis Schroeder hooks his arm under PJ Tucker's crotch. You know, he goes for an illegal crotch shot. Like, even watching it live, it looked like it was a bit of a dirty play. And then upon review, it definitely looked like he went for, you know, a downstairs strike on PJ Tucker. So PJ Tucker took some exception to this, as one is, you know, definitely bound to do in that situation, and goes to headbutt the back of Dennis Schroeder's head and immediately gets ejected for that. So, and then Dennis Schroeder is charged with a flagrant two and is also tossed from the game because of that. The Rockets take a couple free throws, which is this is where none other than Tyson Chandler shows up, because Billy Donovan is allowed to select the free throw shooter from the Houston Rockets bench since PJ Tucker was ejected. Tyson proceeds to come in having not played in I don't know how many months. And I, you know, like the broadcaster said on the TNT broadcast, I'm just surprised he was actually even wearing his jersey and stuff underneath the warmups. But he comes in and proceeds to brick both of the flagrant free throws. Rockets get the ball back, but the Rockets then continue to play without PJ Tucker, and the Thunder play without Dennis Schroeder. Now, this third quarter, I will point out that even though, so the Rockets really did struggle with the with Dennis Schroeder throughout the game, throughout that first half. I mean, in the first half, he had 19 points on 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 7 from behind the arc. The Rockets still haven't found an answer for Schroeder, and so that's going to be a problem moving forward into Game 6, depending, and we'll get, I'll talk about this in the final segment, depending on if Schroeder and or PJ Tucker actually play in Game 6. So to put that bug in your ear for now. But still, no answer for Dennis Schroeder, unfortunately. Now, we did get to see a more steady dose of Austin Rivers, but really, it feels like it's Austin Rivers and Russell Westbrook are the only two guys that are quick enough to stay in front of Schroeder. And I will throw in, James Harden, while not quick enough to stay in front of Schroeder, plays him really well because he doesn't bite on those stupid pump fakes. And that's the thing that Dennis Schroeder does. He's got such a long windup that he does this pump fake, and everybody, all the different Rockets wings, Rocco, Tucker, House, Gordon, they all seem to bite on it or choke up on him and get, you know, hug up on him really close on the perimeter, and he's so explosively quick that he just blows right by them every single time. Harden knows to back off and make him shoot over the top, and there's such a huge windup on it that Harden, there was one possession in this game particularly, I can't remember when it occurred, but Harden danced with Schroeder for about 4 seconds on the perimeter, and Schroeder pump faked like two or three times in a row, and Harden started to bite on it, but was like very much dancing on his toes, ready for the drive in case it happened. So Harden plays him, you know, just about as good as anybody. He just doesn't quite have the lateral quickness to stay with him like Russ and Rivers do. But we did get that steady dose of Austin Rivers. Hopefully that can be a bit more effective in Game 6 if Schroeder's available. But this third quarter, so I mentioned it in segment one, but talking about a diversified plan of attack, right? The Rockets, looking at their shot chart from this third quarter, it's beautiful, because instead of just a mountain of three-point shots with no other attempts from anywhere on the court going in, you have this mountain of shots right at the rim, and you've got a select few three-point shots on the perimeter. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 three-point shots from the perimeter, and that was my eye test really quick as I was adding things up, so let me make sure that that is actually correct. Let me see, and it's not refreshing. That's super cool. Silly NBA stats. All right, hang on. This is being difficult now. That's so not cool. All right, let's see. Sorry, 12 three-point shot attempts. There we go. So 12 three-point shot attempts from the perimeter in the third quarter. Hit six of them. Shot 50% from behind the arc in the quarter. But guess what? They were also 13 of 25 for the frame. They had 7 shots that went in that weren't three-pointers. And that was where the steady diet of mixing it up offensively came from. One of those was a Russell Westbrook mid-range shot, and the rest of them were all shots right at the rim because the Rockets stayed aggressive in this quarter. They also got 8 free throw attempts in this quarter. This is the first game where the free throw discrepancy wasn't abysmal. The Rockets had 14 free throw attempts. The Thunder had 23 free throw attempts. Still a bit of a disparity there, and the whistle was definitely still in the Thunder's favor in this game. I will absolutely admit that. There were multiple times that Eric Gordon drove and just could not buy a call going to the rim, especially in the first half, but they stuck with it. They stayed aggressive. Just like I was saying, they have to get past the mental aspect of not getting the whistle. Yes, it sucks. I get it. I want them to get as many free throws as possible, but there's going to be some nights that you're not going to get a friendly whistle, or in fact, the other team's going to get a friendly whistle and you're not going to get squat. And you just got to power through that. And that's what they did in this. They had a really strong third quarter, and something that, you know, we don't talk about as much as we probably should. Well, actually, that's not true. I feel like I've talked about defense a lot lately. Their defense picked it up in the third quarter. The amount of turnovers that they forced 9 Thunder turnovers in that third quarter. 9 Thunder turnovers. Of the game, the Thunder had 17 turnovers for the game. They forced 9 of them in the third quarter. Just the amount of pressure and switching and reading where the Thunder were going with their passes, the amount of just, like, one, it was a little bit of the Rockets pressing harder on defense, and a little bit the Thunder were being kind of careless with the basketball, and things kind of started to really fall apart for them after losing Dennis Schroeder, because then their offense really, like, CP3 started trying to take over, and he had a few possessions in a row where he drilled some shots, but really their offense started to stagnate without Dennis Schroeder. And But credit to the Rockets defense. They were in the right places. They were making the right rotations. James Harden had a couple good picks. Eric Gordon had a good pick. They were forcing tough shots from the Thunder. They were pressuring the ball. They were in the passing lanes. They were doing everything that they needed to do defensively to continue mounting the pressure in this game on the Thunder. And that's the difference. In game 4, they got comfortable. They got cozy by being up with a huge lead after sinking 8 three-pointers in a row. They took the foot off the gas. They didn't stay as honed in defensively. In this one, they didn't do that. They didn't fall in love with the three-point shot. They stayed attacking the rim. They stayed aggressive. And then defensively, they were locked in for the entire quarter. And that's why they carried such a huge lead going into the final frame. That's why they held the Thunder to just 18 points in a quarter. It should also be noted that they held the Thunder to just 14 points in the first quarter, but Houston's offense in the first quarter was not super hot either, because they only scored 24 points and they had plenty of opportunities to, they should have probably taken a 20-point lead, you know, after the first frame with how poorly the Thunder played and how many shots that Lu Dort took in that first quarter. Really quick, Lu Dort's stat line, 6 points, 3 of 16 shooting, 0 of 9 from behind the arc. No rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, no blocks, 2 fouls. So Lu Dort had himself a game. This is one where the Rockets' game plan is clear. Make Lu Dort beat you. Make Lu Dort actually hit shots. He's basically Andre Robertson 2.0. And honestly, I don't even remember Robertson being this bad at shooting. I remember Robertson had that one game where he actually got kind of hot, and it was like, what's happening? He's actually hitting shots. And maybe Lu Dort already had that game, you know, whether it was game 3 or game 4, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he hit a few threes in one of those games. But that's the game plan, is make Lu Dort beat you and stay at home on everybody else. But SGA had a really bad game, just 4 points in this one, only 8 shot attempts. Chris Paul just 16 points. Steven Adams 12 points. Gallinari just 1 point, 5 shot attempts. 6 rebounds, missed all 3 of his 3-pointers, only hit 1 free throw, and it was a technical. Just a really bad overall game from the Thunder. And the moment that Dennis Schroeder was ejected, even though the Rockets lost PJ Tucker, I was sitting there thinking, yep, this is pretty much game over for the Thunder. So final segment coming up here in just a moment, where we'll wrap up our thoughts about this game and some other, you know, preliminary thoughts moving forward into game 6. And we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for all things Houston Rockets basketball. To stay up to date with the show, be sure to follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin and also the show at Locked On Rockets. Now, final thoughts here. I want to circle back really quickly to Russell Westbrook and just, I want to highlight, yeah, the dude only shot 3 of 13, right? Overall, kind of a bad offensive game. But I don't think that this game, I wasn't expecting him to have like a stellar, you know, traditional Russell Westbrook, like 25 and 10 performance. No, the dude is coming back from a quad injury. you know, and he hasn't played consistent basketball yet, really hardly at all. He played the first few games in the bubble, and then that was it, and then had to sit. You know, hasn't played since, what, August 11th? So I'm not expecting him to be phenomenal right out of the gate. What I was expecting was the mentality shift that he brought that I spoke about in segment one, is he gives the Rockets a certain edge. And having him out there, one, it allows James Harden to have some possessions where, and I know this is something that some Rockets fans take issue with, but James Harden does provide a lot of gravity. And so when you have James Harden sagging all the way back towards half court and keeping his defender pretty much all the way back there with him, it does open up the court a bit more for the other four players. So there are some possessions where, you know, the Rockets get the defensive board and James just flips the ball up ahead to Westbrook and he does kind of casually just walk up the court. And part of that is because it allows the team to have a 4-on-4 possession with a lot of extra space and allows Russ the chance, you know, to kind of dictate the offense a little bit and try and get his. And even though he only hit 3 shots in this one, he was dishing dimes, he was doing what he needed to do. Defensively, he was with the game plan, which was, again, sag off of Lou Dort at all costs. And overall, this game went about as expected for Russ. I was a little worried coming into this one that he would try to do too much and that he would try to, I don't know, like take over the game and try to show off against his former team. But it never really felt that way. It never felt like Russ got into his own head, which is definitely a worry with him from time to time. Will he get into his own head? Will he get over emotional? Will he get too fired up? Something like that. But that was never the case in this one. It really felt like he was calm, cool, and collected, definitely took a back seat, knew what his job was to be out there and to be the secondary to James Harden to kind of take some of the pressure off. And it, just the dynamic between these two guys, the fact that they work so well, even though their games do not necessarily complement each other on the actual court, you know, a guy who can actually could shoot threes with some consistency would be the perfect complement to James Harden. I had this conversation on Twitter, a la the 2018 Chris Paul, right? That is probably the perfect complement to James Harden, but these guys, their talent level, they understand how to make it work. And even though it's a kind of your turn, my turn offense with them at times, they still make it work. And so seeing Russ back out there, even though he didn't have a phenomenal game, you know, by just looking at the stats, I think his presence was just much needed. It was a needed presence, having him out there on the court, and gave the Rockets enough of an edge to come out on top, you know, convincingly in this one. Now for PJ Tucker and Dennis Schroeder, there is some worry there on my behalf that one, if not both of them, could be suspended for Game 6. I would be hard-pressed to imagine that only one of them would be suspended. And if it was one, it would just be PJ Tucker because they always get the person for the retaliation strike. But think to Giannis We'll just say attempt a free throw. Anyways, Giannis attempt a free throw, who in the second to last bubble game, seeding game for the Bucks, decided to headbutt I forget who it was on the Wizards that he decided to headbutt, but he was suspended for a game that he was probably going to sit for, so it really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but he walked up and headbutted a Wizards player. That's a big no-no. You don't get to walk over and headbutt somebody. So that being said, PJ Tucker, I could maybe see a world where the NBA decides to suspend him for Game 6, unfortunately. But with that, Dennis Schroeder clearly went for the below-deck shot on PJ Tucker, and I would, again, be hard-pressed to imagine a situation in which PJ Tucker is suspended for Game 6 and Dennis Schroeder gets to play. So, and as reported by Tim McMahon from ESPN, the Rockets really want Dennis Schroeder to be investigated for that cheap shot on PJ Tucker because he did have another cheap shot some years ago against DeMarcus Cousins. And then there was also Chris Paul's cheap shot against Ben McLemore earlier in the series. So it's not the first time that this has happened, even this series. So I would imagine that both players are going to play in Game 6, seeing as how it could be the final game of the series. It might be one of those where, in a normal scenario, the NBA might be a bit more strict. If it were like the regular season, they'd be suspended for a game or two. But because it's the playoffs, because both of those players are so key to each team, they're probably going to both play. And I wouldn't mind if Dennis Schroeder and PJ Tucker were suspended because Schroeder means a lot more. Again, I love PJ Tucker, but Schroeder means a lot more to the Thunder than Tucker does to the Rockets. So I wouldn't mind if they're both out for game six. I think that gives the edge significantly to the Rockets. But that being said, I don't think they're going to be out. I think it's just going to be a lot of smoke and nothing to come of it. Now, kind of one more guy that I want to give, I want to highlight two more things actually before we wrap this up. First things first is Robert Covington. I talked about him already, but finding his shot, 22 points, 6 of 11 shooting from behind the arc, 8 of 14 overall, had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals in this one. Just a phenomenal overall game from him. I do, if I'm being nitpicky, it is frustrating that none of the Houston wings are able to really stay in front of any of the OKC guards. You know, it feels like anytime Covington is parked in front of SGA or Schroeder or even Paul sometimes, that they're able to beat him off the dribble. So his perimeter defense has left a little bit of something to be desired, but that's also not where he thrives. Right, Robert Covington doesn't thrive as an on-ball perimeter defender. He thrives as a help defender. You know, having other quicker guys to kind of be the focal point defensively out there on the perimeter, and then having Roko be able to kind of use that wingspan, reach in, you know, interrupt passing lanes, sweep over, you know, jump over from the weak side and help contest right at the rim. That's where he thrives as a defender. And because his defensive IQ is so off the charts, he's usually in the right place at the right time, making the right reads to be a great help defender. So I'm not trying to be overly critical of him. It'd be nice if he'd be able to contain a few more of those drives rather than getting absolutely blown by seemingly every other possession. But still, offensively, it's great that he found his shot. It's great that he was taking them in stride on a night where everybody else really struggled from three, at least in the starting lineup. Eric Gordon, again, another 0 for 3. Russell Westbrook just 0 for 2. PJ Tucker, 1 for 4. James Harden had it going. Jeff Green had it going. Ben McLemore did get, you know, about 10 minutes in this one, but just 1 of 3 shooting. Daniel House Jr., who did make, you know, his appearance off the bench in this game, 2 of 6 shooting. Austin Rivers, just 1 of 3. Again, not a phenomenal three-point shooting night. Really just Covington and Harden holding it down, shooting a combined 10 of 19 from behind the arc between the two of them to really make up so much of that three-point burst from the Rockets. But the Thunder aren't also, and the Rockets were plus 36, which is nothing new, you know, plus a gigantic amount from behind the arc, but the Thunder were just an abysmal 7 of 45 from behind the arc. And I also mentioned those turnovers earlier. You know, the Thunder being forced to commit 17 turnovers, the Rockets scoring 20 points off of those 17 turnovers was key in this. You know, again, that third quarter forcing 9 turnovers from the Thunder, big part of this game was that third quarter and the explosion both offensively and then containing them defensively. And it's not like Dennis Schroeder was missing that entire quarter. I will say that. It's not like Dennis Schroeder was missing that entire quarter. It's not like the Thunder, you know, were down a man from the get-go. They had Schroeder for about the first 5 minutes of that quarter. They started him that quarter. So it's not like the Thunder were down a man all of a sudden and the Rockets were missing PJ Tucker and that's why the run started. The Rockets came out guns blazing in that quarter before the altercation took place between Tucker and Schroeder. Looking forward to game six, I don't think that the Thunder are going to shoot 7 of 45 from behind the arc again, so don't expect that to happen. And if Schroeder is back, there's still a concern that the Rockets haven't found a way to slow him down. But I expect that with Russell Westbrook and Austin Rivers, that between those two guys, that the Rockets should hopefully be able to slow down Schroeder just a little bit. You know, I know that the first half of this Game 5 didn't quite bode well moving forward, and that is still, again, it's still an area of concern, but if those two guys can kind of step up to the plate, use their physical gifts, use their speed, use their agility to keep their body in front of Schroeder a little bit, then I think he's the only guy that you really have to worry about from the Thunder. Gallinari has been basically useless. He had the one really big Game 1, and that was basically it. Chris Paul just doesn't have enough left in the tank. SGA went MIA. So it's really just contain Dennis Schroeder and try not to have a start to the game where James Harden is your entire offense for one half of the game. And you should be in good shape for game six. So I'm excited. I'm ready for game six. And I think that's where we're going to cut things off for today. So as always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.